Pippa Hudson on Cape Talk.
Now joining me in studio today is Elsabet Brits, who's a special journalist in science at Netwerk 24 and has been putting in months of work on a series of special features around the coverage of the 50th anniversary of the world's first heart transplant. She has interviewed role players who were there in the operating room, people attached to the story in many different ways, and she's with us to share a couple of those stories today. Elsabet, thanks so much for popping into the studio.
Thanks so much.
The coverage is beautiful. I was reading a lot of it this morning on the Netwerk 24 website and really delved into the emotional stories behind the story. For me, most poignantly, you obviously put a lot of work into finding out the story of the Darvall family. Yes. So much focus of, and rightly so, of the story is on Professor Chris Barnard and it's on the recipient, Louis Washkansky, that it's easy to lose sight of the fact that at the heart of that story is a family who suffered a tragic loss, the loss of their daughter, Denise Darvall.
Absolutely. And also the mother, Myrtle, who was killed in the same accident. And one tends to forget that Denise and her mother were the breadwinners of the family, and that the father and the youngest boy, Keith, saw what happened to the mother and the daughter right in front of their eyes. And it must have been tremendously traumatic for them. And later that same evening, Edward gave consent for Denise's heart to be transplanted. I mean, it was a marvelous gesture. And one tends to forget. And once again, one tends to forget who Denise Darvall was. I mean, she was a young woman. She was 25 years old, working in a bank. And she had dreams of becoming a fashion designer. And, you know, those stories tends to be forgotten.
I'm so glad you've told them at the depth you've told them. It was fascinating to read the account of what, I think it was the other son, Stephen, who yes. wasn't witness to the accident that claimed his mom and his sister, but described how he didn't even know that his father had given consent for the transplant to take place and literally heard about it on the news.
Yeah, that was very tragic. You know, they struggled for many years to talk about it. And about 3 years ago, I had an interview with him, and he consented to that interview for the first sure. time ever. And he told me, you know, a bus of Grootskier Hospital came to pick him up, a little bus, and took him to the hospital. And he didn't know that his mother had passed away, and he was told later on. You know, they were very young, and maybe his father was incapable of talking to him, and he thought Denise was still alive. And the morning afterwards, when he put on the radio, he heard that her heart was transplanted, you know, sure. and the effect it had on the family. And because the father died 28 months later, and they were basically left without an income, and now they struggled. Lots of trauma there, but in the end, you know, life came from death.
Yeah.
Like it's still today with any transplant.
Yeah. It's an amazing story. And as you said, the impact on them so profound, not only the profundity of the loss that they faced, but the fact that it was the family breadwinners
yes.
who were removed as well. How is Stephen today? I mean, you said it was a couple of years ago that you interviewed him. How does he feel about his family's part in this historic event?
I mean, I think he has made he's made peace with it, and he visits the heart transplant museum. I mean, he understands what happened so many years afterwards, but it's left a traumatic impact. I think also with regards to Chris Barnard and everybody involved, these days we have psychologists and therapists who can talk people through, and it wasn't the norm those days. Even with regards to Chris Barnard, he was thrown into the spotlight so quickly, and he also didn't have a PR team to help him to assist with the media frenzy.
Yeah.
So I think 50 years on, things are very, very different with transplant coordinators helping people with therapy and, you know, to work through the trauma. So those early days, it was hard, I think, on everybody.
It was a different world that they were working in a brave new world, as it
yes.
was then. I was also interested, I mean, there's some great interviews up on the site with medical professionals like Dr. Susan Fosloo, for example, who work in the field today, reflecting on the significance of that event 50 years ago and how things have changed. Particularly interesting, Dr. Fosloo being the first female heart surgeon
yes.
in this country, working at Netcare Christian Barnard, at the hospital that bears his name, talking about how much has changed and how there's a relatively low number of heart transplants happening in South African hospitals these days.
Yeah, unfortunately. I think there's a lack of knowledge about what happens when you have to donate your organs, but it's easy to read up on what really happens. And there are 4,000 people waiting for all organs, all solid organs and corneas, and we transplant only between 350 and 360 per year,
sure,
which is really horrible. It was much, much more. It was over 1,000 some years ago. Even at Groote Schuur, at their height of their performance, they transplanted 35 hearts a year. And now, if they're lucky, maybe four, but it's normally two. So people really should consider and thinking to do the right thing with regards to organ donation.
Yeah. I know many countries, and we've spoken about this over the past week, many countries have an opt-out system, yes, rather than an opt-in, yes, like we do. So the default is you're assumed to be a donor, yes, unless you specify that you're not. Would you like to see South Africa head in that direction?
I'd love to see that. I think it's the right thing to do and that you need to opt out. But, I mean, there are real maybe religious and cultural concerns regarding that, but one can address it with a very good public education program. But I think that's a wonderful thing to do, because we can save literally thousands and thousands of lives. It's interesting, there was a survey done that 70% of people in this country said, yes, I'll take an organ, and 70% said, I won't donate an organ. And that's a weird discrepancy. I don't understand that. I'm an organ donor since I think I was 20, and I'm turning 45 now, and I would be so angry if I can be a proper donor, because there are certain criteria, the way you die, obviously you shouldn't be ill, and they don't take everything. Yeah. I mean, you know, I think it's just the proper thing to do. And what the Organ Foundation says is that talk about this before something happens. Yeah. You know, it should be a discussion one should have.
I'm registered. I've done the same as you. I hopped onto the Organ Donor Foundation page, which is odf.org.za, and I think everybody in my family knows that. I'll remind them right now, just in case. I feel the same way. Don't let anything go to waste. If you can use it, then please do so. Elsabeth, thank you for, I mean, you've done wonderful work. There are a beautiful series of articles up on the Netwerk 24 site. It really is worth spending some time reading them, and reading the depth and the emotional depth that Elsabeth has probed into the story is wonderful. Thanks for popping into studio to share it with us today.
Thank you. And you can go directly to the site. You just type in chrisbarnard.netwerk24.com.
Netwerk24.com. Okay, important to note the .com. And make sure you have a good chunk of time available to you, because you're going to want to spend some time reading
Thanks
in depth.
Lot.
Great to have you with us. Elsabeth Brits, specialist journalist in science at Netwerk24.